Here we go.
There's a drive.
Welcome into the drive.
It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Let's go for a little ride.
Hey, we're back here on the drive. Derek Piper, Trevor Valise sitting in. Lante on assignment today. I'm pretty sure with all the rain we've gotten, he probably is taking, I'm imagining he's floating on a raft to Indiana with a suitcase full of cash to bet on Illinois football over 3.5 wins.
That makes a lot of sense. That actually, that checks out as to why he's gone.
It checks out for a couple of reasons. Number one, the amount of rain we've gotten today is just absolutely insane.
That part does definitely check out.
Number two, Lon likes to pay for everything in cash.
Yep.
But I think he would get to Indiana and then realize that having the suitcase full of cash doesn't help him place the bet on his FanDuel app.
Correct. Yep,
I could just see that.
He'd get all the way there, and he'd go up to a counter at a non-FanDuel thing and just say, do you take cash?
And now, he could find a sports book there.
Sure, sure.
But that would work out just fine.
Yeah, I mean, that would get the job done. By the way, we keep saying that we're going to stop talking about the Cubs game.
I know. I was deciding whether or not to bring it up.
Interesting stuff keeps happening. So now the backup catcher, it's either Andrew Romine or Austin Romine. There's brothers. They both suck. One of them is now pitching for the Cubs in the ninth inning, down 17-3, just uncorked a wild one, and he just gave up a home run to Luis Urias, who hit one in the previous inning, I think, or two innings ago. I don't know. This is such a joke, Derek.
Is Tony La Russa, who is not going to be at tonight's game for personal reasons, I saw somewhere attending a funeral, so not to make light of that by any means, but is he watching from home or going to see the highlights off of a home run off of a position player and get really fired up and angry?
Tell you what, down 16-3, the White Sox game wasn't even that bad. Now, it wasn't a 3-0 count. This was a clean 0-0 count, I think, that he just teed off on him. But nonetheless, all that this game needs now is a fight, because we're going to have a bottom of the ninth for no discernible reason here. We might as well have a brawl. That's where I'm at.
I am game for that, because we've seen a little bit of everything at this point. I'm trying to count the home runs that have been in this game.
Gotcha.
Swindell and Wisdom for the Cubs.
Romine just punched out
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Jackie Bradley Jr. to end the inning.
Ball's a little low, but the umpire's ready to go home. This game started at, what, 120?
120, and we're at 510 now.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Peterson, two for Pena, two for Urias.
Man.
So that's
five there.
Seven home runs in this game.
Wow.
Yeah, quite a few.
You could have, tell you what, $5 to win $1 million if you put all those guys in a home run parlay
there
for the same gamer.
There you go.
That's where my mind always jumps to. But
well, we're going to have to do that before tonight's show commences.
Mm-hmm.
Is it tonight? It's usually evening, tonight, whatever.
We're heading into tonight.
You get what we're talking about.
Lon says good evening in the second hour, so
it's basically
tonight.
Good evening to you. Field of Dreams game tonight, White Sox and Yankees. In Iowa, Lance Lynn on the bump for the Sox. Andrew Haney, lefty, who the White Sox usually hit well.
And he stinks, doesn't he?
And he just stinks. Yeah. A lot of people hit him well, 5.45 ERA. We're going to have to come up with maybe a parlay or some kind of bet involving that game before the show commences.
It feels wrong, and I don't want to get too into it here because I know we got to get to Jason, but it feels wrong to throw like a bad pitcher in a momentous game like this. You know what I mean? Like, if the London game 2 years ago, Yankees-Red Sox, was, like, just two absolutely awful pitchers, wouldn't it just kind of take some of the, like, give me Garrett Cole versus Lance Lynn tonight, even if he's on 4 days rest. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Andrew Heaney playing in the heaven field of dreams. Like, he doesn't deserve that.
But you don't think that Andy Pettit is walking through the corn and out onto the field, or a David Cone, David Wells?
I am curious to see how many different you know, jokes, tricks, whatever do with people coming out of corn and CGI weird things happening. And I'm sure Kevin Costner's going to throw out the first pitch or something. So I'm interested in it. I'm interested to see how it goes.
I had to Google to see exactly what the field was going to look like because I was legitimately curious whether the fence would just be a cornfield. But no, it's an actual fence, which is a little disappointing.
See, that would have been cooler if like you actually could disappear into the corn if you were like going for a fly ball. But at least there's corn out there.
Yeah.
So
it would have been cool if like Brett Gardner chases a home run, Eloy bomb into the field. And he comes back as like looking like Mickey Mantle or something like that. I don't know.
I would love that. That would be cool.
I will give you the stats here. That has gone final in the NBA Summer League. I would assume he's playing his third game and not one that he would necessarily like to remember. But again, it's just the Summer League. Had a very good game, too, particularly in the second half, but finished 1-for-7, 2 points, 5 rebounds. Didn't take a shot in the second half. Mm. So that kind of, I know there's some Illini fan frustration just kind of on some of the opportunities he got. And as we talked about late last hour, it's just, it's very different not seeing the ball in his hands a whole lot, operating pick and roll, being able to make plays off the dribble. It's just him in the corner and trying to work through a different role, different opportunities. He did go 0-for-3 from three, but not a good game three for him. We will talk to Jason Pat here in a couple of minutes about his overall thoughts about the pick of the Bulls taking out, assuming the second round, maybe what his role would look like year one or going forward, and overall, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, Alex Caruso, some of the things that the Bulls front office have done here in free agency, and we're going to do that here in a couple of minutes.
It is interesting because I think, and we can talk to him about this, going into the post-draft night, you look at, remember, we had Cody on, and he said, you know, Coby White's got the shoulder problem. We don't know how, I mean, he could be out to start the season. Suddenly you're thinking, like, and I'm not getting a delusion of grandeur that, like, Io's going to be the starting point guard game one of his career and he's going to go out there and score 30 points or something. But suddenly it felt like, you know, maybe there was a legitimate opportunity for him to get playing time early. And then they go out and sign, like, three really good guards. I know Caruso's not going to start, but obviously Lonzo will. DeMar DeRozan, I assume, obviously is going to start. Caruso will come off the bench.
Yep.
And now it's like, wait a minute, is Io going to play at all? So it's just interesting to see. We'll get Jason's take on it too, but just the impact of going for it, quote unquote, with the free agent signings, how that might impact his role as a rookie.
Yeah, and at the very least, it's going to be a team that will be in the playoffs, and you would hope that Io can crack that second unit and be someone that is going to play some meaningful games and some nationally televised games that we'll all get to check out and see. And look, the NBA and his professional career, it's a long path. Got a lot of time to figure that out, to grow, to progress, to go through some growing pains. But just one game, this one in Vegas, and they'll play again tomorrow, I believe, to finish out what is the regular season or pre-bracket, whatever you want to say.
I know. I don't understand any part of it. The coach is different, right? Like, the coach of Summer League is not the coach of your team. Like,
typically
Billy,
not, right.
Billy Donovan isn't coaching the Bulls right now.
Correct.
But then there's the regular season of the Summer League followed by, like, a single elimination tournament?
Yeah, because there's usually a champion.
Right, and it's like a bracket.
I would imagine.
I don't
unless know. They just take the best
honestly,
record.
Honestly, this is the most I've ever cared about the Summer League.
Oh, I know.
So I'll figure it out as we go.
But here we are in mid-August, just making our way through.
Will Frank Schwindel hit his second
another
home run.
Almost.
Oh, into the Ivy.
Let's catch a break. Let's not talk any more Cubs or Cardinals. We'll talk some Bulls when we come back. Jason Pat, blogabull.com, will join us. This is The Drive.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands Inc. Is your plumbing system showing signs of cracks, sewer water infiltrating your basement wall? How about the things you can't see, like your underground drain and sewer pipes? A Lands sewer camera inspection and exclusive pipelining process can restore old pipes to like new quality with very little intrusion of your yard, and most projects can be completed in a day. Once installed, this will give you peace of mind that your underground drain and sewer pipes will be protected from root and water infiltration and increase the structural integrity with a one-piece liner. Visit LandsInc.com to learn more. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Hi, it's Stevie J. You know, when we talk advertising with our clients, in the back of everybody's mind is, what do I get? How much do I sell when I advertise on the radio? And you know what? It's a fair question. How much stuff do I sell when I advertise with you? Well, here at Stevie J Broadcasting, we have developed a unique and exclusive marketing program that guarantees people will spend money with your business every month and provide feedback as to what they thought of their experience with you. It's called Stever. Now, if your company is looking for more customers who I guarantee will spend money with you each and every month, why don't you at least find out what this is about? Call 217-840-9913 to get a quick explanation and start knowing what you get for some of your advertising dollar. 217-840-9913. Space for this program is limited. 217-840-9913.
Okay, students, school is back in session. Anybody want to share what they did this summer? Yes, Jenny.
My parents took me to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, and it was the best!
Your summer vacation was an appliance store?
It was so exciting. First of all, we got the guaranteed best deal from the nicest salesperson in the world.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
They have the top-rated service team in town. And you know what that means?
You're saying they have their own service department?
With their own in-house technicians and parts.
Oh my goodness.
They even gave my parents an extended protection plan for free.
Wow.
That's exactly what they say. Wow.
Start off the school year right with a hot appliance deal at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. In-stock appliances are marked down now. Wow.
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Maybe you don't click the buttons. You don't know what it is.
It was a new song. This feels more like a Lonte song than a URB song.
Lonte not in the building today. Derek Piper, Trevor Valise holding it down. It's okay. We'll continue to vibe on regardless of little country vibes, I guess. Is that what you would call it?
Little Bad Moon Rising. That's the name of the song.
That's all right. Yeah. Not bad.
I don't dislike it. I'm more of your vibe of like,
sure,
you know, some instrumental Drake or something coming in.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Absolutely. I'm sure our guest, Jason Pat, bloggable.com, won't mind. Jason, how you feeling on the music? What would you prefer as your walk-up song if you could have picked?
Oh man, that's CCR is pretty good. I enjoy some of that. I'm a big fan of Anthony Rizzo's song. That was actually the song I walked up to at my wedding. So I'm a nice all over the place with music.
Awesome, can appreciate that. We've talked enough Cubs today. I won't ask you any Rizzo, any postmortem of Chicago Cubs. We are interested in your thoughts on the Chicago Bulls. Jason Pat, bloggable.com contributor. Iodesumu, there's a lot of casual Bulls fans probably in this area in Champaign in general, but a lot more now that Iodesumu will be wearing that uniform. Before we get into today's performance and kind of just here recently in the summer league, I want what was your overall take when he falls to the Bulls and he goes 38th and just kind of the fit for him and him being in that Bulls organization, obviously his hometown, Io being in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that he fell. I mean, all the stuff like leading up to the draft, I was like, oh, he could go in like the late teens or like the early 20s. And then he kept falling and falling. And I did not think he'd get all the way to the Bulls. And then he got to the Bulls, and like everybody on Twitter was talking about him and Sharif Cooper and Jared Butler, and the Bulls went with the hometown guy. We'll see if that actually works out. But, I mean, obviously very cool as an Illinois guy myself. Love to see Io playing for the Bulls. After his awesome career at Illinois. In terms of like his fit with the team, obviously the second-round pick on a team trying to win after all the big moves that they've made this offseason. He'll have to fight for a roster – or not a roster spot. He'll have to fight for a rotation spot. I'm sure he'll be on the roster. I don't think he's actually signed his deal yet. So like, I'm not sure if he'll get like a two-way, if he'll get a guaranteed contract, something like that. I do think that what they've done with some of their contracts, I think they've tried to keep some space open for maybe him or maybe Marco Simonovic or whatever, but I mean, he will have to fight for minutes if he is on that team, if he's not in the G League, in terms of like what the kind of role he'd have as whatever 6'4", 6'5", probably wing defender. The Bulls have so many guys to handle the ball now with what they've done. They have Zach, they got Lonzo, they got DeRozan. So I feel like he'll have to do work be like a defensive guy. And we kind of saw this in the last summer league game against that big comeback against the Spurs. He had the nice defensive plays, transition plays. Today's game was not a good game for him, but we'll see that he definitely has to work on like off the ball stuff, because at Illinois he was a ball dominant player. I'll do that stuff. He'll have to really work on rounding out his game, learning how to play without the ball, and playing hard defense. He's got that long wingspan, and that could really help him get some minutes if he does play.
You mentioned it there in game two, and he really keyed that comeback in a big way with the four steals and being able to get out in transition. Yep. Do you think it is defensively where maybe he has to really ignite things as far as proving to the Bulls that he should be out there in year one?
Yeah, I think year one for sure. It's like with the Bulls trying to win, I just don't think like he's going to be getting a lot of on-ball opportunities with all those guys I mentioned. Maybe if it was more of a rebuilding team, maybe they'd give him more of a chance. But like, I just think now like he'll be an energy guy. Like I mentioned, he is, I mean, 6'4", 6'5", with that 6'11 wingspan. And we saw that in that second game where be a disruptor on defense, get out in transition, and make plays like that. We see him, we know how fast he is out there in transition. The half-court offensive game, he had some issues in college against some stronger defenders. We've seen him have some issues so far in summer league so far. So in the NBA, and that's the kind of thing that's just like not going to happen right away. It's tough for good rookies for that to happen right away. For a second round pick, stuff like that. Definitely if you want to earn minutes, play hard, get out there, play defense, and you can earn some minutes that way.
And not to, as you were alluding to, not to overreact maybe off of one game today where it wasn't working for him, and overall it has been a struggle or just an adjustment in his role playing off the ball. What do you think this summer league in general, the exposure matters for him in terms of a roster spot? You mentioned that seemed to be maybe fairly something that he can count on, but his role or just kind of the way the team will view him in summer league, how much does that maybe move the needle or not move the needle in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know it has been like kind of rough so far at times. He's had some issues finishing, driving. We've seen the nice flashes as well with the defense, as we mentioned. So just like I said, in terms of like with him making the roster, like I'm relatively confident. I think the Bulls have like something of the got amount of guys they have under contract right now. Like I don't think they're going to be bringing in that many other guys. I feel like he's probably got a spot locked down. He might spend some time in the G League as well just to get him more on ball reps, maybe. If he does play in the G League, I'm assuming they'd have him on ball more. So, yeah, I mean, summer league, you don't want to overreact to stuff, like you said. Like, guys that good players have bad summer leagues and they come out and they play really well in the league. Again, with him, it'll be tough just because they are trying to win right now. So, having to earn those minutes, it will be tough. There will be competition in the backcourt, especially. So, I'm not freaking out or anything. There's some just concerning that he's not popping quite enough. There have been some flashes there. We know, like I said, we know how fast he is. We know he can play a little defense when he's playing hard. Just really does need to work on the off-ball stuff. He's got to be more engaged. And that game today, after he missed some shots early, and it just kind of seemed like he kind of almost just went into his shell playing off the ball and just kind of standing around. Like, definitely just got to get better at moving without the ball. We know the jumper, not his biggest strength, but if he can just continue improving his shooting. He did have one really nice cut off the ball today for his one basket. So just got to keep working on becoming a more well-rounded player and getting used to not having the ball in his hands so much. And that'll help him hopefully improve in the NBA.
Jason, I want to pivot to some of those aforementioned backcourt additions. I'll start with Lonzo. I feel like the rumor of Lonzo to the Bulls potentially has been going on for quite some time now. Just what was your reaction to it officially happening? What did you make of the trade? And how do you make of the fit of Lonzo in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to trade for him before the deadline. They didn't want to give up a first-round pick for him, I think is what the Pelicans were looking for. And then they didn't give up one now, so that was nice. And they only gave up Satoransky, who I figured he was a goner anyways. Garrett Temple, would have liked Garrett Temple back for some veteran leadership, but whatever. Like, he's a vet wing. He can replace that. And then they only gave up a second-round pick. So the deal was great. The contract, I think, makes sense. 4 years, $80 million for good 3-and-D point guard. Lonzo isn't going to fix all the point guard problems. He's not a great half-court player. Doesn't really get to the basket and get to the line that much. But, I mean, he's really revamped his three-point shot. He's up to, like, 37-38% from three, which is great. Defensive potential there. This seems like a really nice fit next to Zach, now with DeRozan in there as well, especially with that defense. It's really solid. Again, 23, 24 years old at $20 million a year. to get a guy like that right at the start of free agency. Maybe they got it done a little too quick. We'll see what happens with this tampering investigation. Hopefully the NBA doesn't dock the Bulls too much if they do punish them at all. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they do get punished a little bit, but the tampering stuff is goofy. All the teams do it, so we'll see what happens there. But overall, Lonzo's not going to – they're not going to ruin that deal or anything like that. So made a lot of sense. Happy that they were able to jump on that right away and get it done. So it's nice for the Bulls to be able to locate their number one target, and they got it done right away.
I'm not trying to segue too much into a rabbit hole here, but can you fill me in on – I'm a very novice. I mean, I've watched the NBA, but, you know, my Bulls true fandom died when Derrick Rose went down the first time. This tampering thing, it to me, as soon as free agency hits, it seems like there's 58 deals, and it's remarkable right. That all these teams were able to get them done within 10 seconds of free agency starting, technically speaking. So what – I mean, there's no threat, in case anyone's wondering, that, like, Lonzo won't be on the Bulls because of this, right?
Right, yeah. That's what they've said. Very little chance that happens. I feel like that's just, like, a really slippery slope. Like you said, so many of these deals – I mean, right this year, first 10, 15 minutes, you got a ton of deals already being reported, not just Lonzo, not just the Kyle Lowry thing. Obviously, since those were leaking out like a few days before, I mean, it was clearly that stuff was being worked on. In the Lonzo case, like, yeah, the Bulls and Pelicans have been talking for a while about it. And I'm sure the Bulls had conversations with Rich Paul about it beforehand that might not have been quite up to snuff. But again, this happens with all these teams. It's just very obvious. I think what really did probably dock them was like the sign and trade aspect, the fact that they had to work it out with Lonzo, with like Garrett Temple too, and like the fact that they like had all that like locked in. Reported within minutes of free agency starting does raise some eyebrows, but again, all these teams do it. Like, I feel like with the tampering stuff, like, just I don't even know why they even bother. I know that like a couple of years ago, Adam Silver and the league, they tried to make some new rules, add some new punishment, but it's just so clearly like nobody really follows them. So it's like if you're gonna punish them, I guess you should like really lay the law down, but again, it doesn't seem like that's gonna happen, so might as well just let them run wild, like whatever.
I'm with you. We're chatting with Jason Pat, bloggable.com contributor. You can follow him on Twitter at Bulls_J, JAY. Jason, I want to ask you about the other big offseason addition, DeMar DeRozan. It seemed like maybe more people were puckering up at that deal just because you threw in, I believe, a first-round pick and two other future picks. But what are your thoughts on adding DeRozan to this team?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of pure like asset management and like paying what they did for him, 3 years, $85 million for what DeRozan is at this point, that's a bit much. It doesn't seem like his market was that hot. I mean, he was talking to some other teams, but I don't know. From what I've read, it doesn't seem like anybody else was offering quite that much. But so like that aspect of it, there have been some people, some very smart basketball analysts who have questioned that, not a big fans of it. And, I mean, I get it. DeRozan's a kind of unique player, kind of weird in this. Especially in this NBA, he doesn't shoot threes. He's not the greatest defender. But I think when you look at it, the big picture for the Bulls and what they're trying to do, clearly going all in, as all in as you can, without like trading for like legitimate superstars, getting Lonzo, getting DeRozan, adding Alex Caruso as well, making these big moves, clearly trying to do all they can to be a really solid team this year, with Zach LaVine being a free agent next year. Just trying to prove to Zach that they want to be good, that they're ready to go win some games, make some big improvements. Zach's never been in the playoffs in his NBA career. So, and that when you're looking at it in that way, and the Bulls just like making big moves like that, I think this helps with the perception of the franchise as well after these 4 or 5 just awful years since trading Jimmy. So I get why maybe they wanted to go overpay and make sure they lock this guy in. And he's still a really good player. I mean, he had a few solid years with the Spurs. He played 2-3, can play up at power forward. He's really improved his passing. I think he was at like 7 assists per game last year. Gets to the free throw line. Bulls were the last in the NBA in free throw attempts last season. He got there like 7 times a game. Bulls got there like 17 times per game as a team. So like he can fill in some of those gaps that the Bulls were lacking. Lonzo Ball, not the greatest half court, like initiator, point guard, great transition player. DeRozan can do some of that stuff with the playmaking, getting to the line. So I think he can fill in some of those gaps. The Bulls have enough shooting around him to I think, make that work offensively. So they should be really dynamic offensively. Defensively, definitely some question marks there. We'll see how else they fill out the roster. But I feel like they still do have a few more moves to make. We'll see what they actually do, though.
Jason, I'll be honest. I don't know a ton about Alex Caruso other than he seemed to be a fan favorite there in LA, and I have his basketball reference page pulled up here. Nicknames listed: Bald Mamba, Bald Eagle, White Mamba 2.0, and the Accountant. What more can you add to his profile?
Yeah, I mean, Lakers fans love Caruso, and his like base numbers, they don't look anything special. I know he did shoot well from three last year, but if you dig into some like the defensive metrics and like some, he's like really smart basketball people I follow on Twitter. Some Lakers fans do some of that analytics stuff. Alex Caruso rates out as one of the like most elite perimeter defenders in the NBA. So I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5", strong. He closed a lot of games for the Lakers just because of that defensive presence. And I think he'll probably be a fan favorite here too. Just the blue collar guy with his headband out there playing hard defense. Like, I guess you could say he's like Ryan Arcidiacono on steroids. So like, he's going to play great defense. I totally get why they go after him, but they're trying to improve their perimeter defense. You're trying to fill in some of those gaps where maybe Zach's not the best defender and DeRozan's not the best defender. You're looking for perimeter defense. Lonzo's an upgrade there. Alex Caruso's an upgrade there. And he also threw around some pretty sick dunks. So I'm sure Bulls fans will love Caruso because Lakers fans loved him. Seemed like LeBron loved him. And he played a lot of key minutes. He didn't play a lot of minutes, like, overall, but he played key minutes, like crunch time minutes. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see him playing crunch time minutes with the Bulls either.
Last one for you, Jason. Overall, big picture going into next year, what are your expectations for that team and where they can maybe be seated playoff-wise, assuming that they are – in fact, a playoff team? And kind of to add on to that, how much goodwill do you think Arturis Karnisovas has built up by being aggressive and starting with Vucevic and making some of these moves in free agency to make the Bulls look competent and look competitive again?
Right, yeah. I mean, playoffs, obviously the goal, not making the playoffs or the play-in, whatever you want to call it, disaster. My goal is to avoid that play-in, so getting in the top six. I think that's definitely reasonable. They're clearly not going to be an elite team. I guess I should never say never, but a tier below Bucks, Nets. Obviously, the Nets are the favorite. Nets, Bucks, probably the Sixers. And then the Heat had a nice free agency. But like, once you get maybe past those four, we'll see about, there's a lot of teams kind of jumbled there. You got the Celtics, you got the Knicks, you got the Hawks, the Bulls. We'll see if the Pacers bounce back. Team like the Hornets, so the Wizards made some big moves. So like, there's a lot of these teams who could be pretty similar in the East next year. But I think with the talent Bulls have, if they mesh together, that they could get maybe up to 5-6, maybe even up as high as 4 if they could get some breaks going their way. I think in general, you have to hope the playoffs, absolute expectation. Hope you avoid that play-in to get in the top six. And in terms of the stuff with the front office, I think it is definitely a breath of fresh air that Bulls fans are liking this after the years of guard packs and just kind of waiting and building after the Jimmy trade and just kind of waiting around for these young guys. AK came in, he watched them for half a year after not really doing much last offseason, watched them for half a year and was like, I'm done with this. Like, it's time to go get some better players around Zach. You cash in those chips for Vooch. Now you make these moves. I know some people are saying, well, like, you're cashing in all these first round picks and all this stuff, spending all this money on a team that maybe it'll never be better than like a 4 seed, 5 seed. But I mean, when they've been so bad, I think they have the worst record in the NBA since trading Jimmy. When you've been so bad, you got to be able to be at least decent first before you're really, really good, unless you get like LeBron or Kevin Durant in their prime. So like, you got to get decent before they can be a championship contender. So if the Bulls can be, again, make the playoffs, maybe they win a playoff series, and then maybe they can go from there and become a team that can be an actual contender. So I think a lot of fans like the aggressive mindset. Now they just got to go win games on the court.
Jason, great stuff. Blogabull.com. Check his stuff out. Read up all about Io and a team that's going to be really intriguing all of a sudden. And Trevor,
I had to do it.
Got a little hat tip to you. He says this is a Rizzo walk-up. I wouldn't have known that, but this is for you, Jason Pat.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Wedding song. Which I actually stole from another family member, but always liked this for Rizzo song. So awesome stuff. Thanks.
There you go. Jason, we really appreciate the time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks, Jason.
You too, Jason. Thank you.
I like it.
I do like it, actually. I don't even hate to admit it.
I miss Rizzo.
He was hitting bombs with the Bronx Bombers before going on the COVID list, right?
Yeah, now he's got COVID. And I hope he's okay, because he was one of the guys who said he wasn't vaccinated. I'm not going to get into it, but for his own personal sake, I hope he's okay.
Absolutely. That is a cool song.
Well, I'm going to go cry about Rizzo during this commercial break, and then we can put together some bets. Does that sound okay?
That sounds great. Let's get to that break, get you the tissues. I hope you're all right as well. This is The Drive.
Jeff Facer on what Area-Wide Technologies does.
We are a full-service technology company that focuses on business solutions for our clients, and we handle everything from the security of your internet network and data to implementation and administration of these things, as well as email and pretty much full service of anything that a business would need technology-wise.
To find out more, go to areawidetech.com.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
Are you a Champaign County renter whose household has been impacted by COVID-19? This is Maury Williamson with the RPC, and I want you to know that emergency rent and utility assistance is now available. Find the application for emergency rent assistance on our website at ccrpc.org/ERA. That's ccrpc.org/ERA. There are also printed versions at Champaign and Urbana Libraries, the Rantoul Community Center, and the RPC office in Urbana. Please apply as soon as possible while funds are available. That's ccrpc.org/ERA.
The Cardinals host the Pirates the weekend of August 20th through 22nd and celebrate Hall of Fame weekend in St. Louis. On Saturday, August 21st, 30,000 fans aged 16 and older will take home a wearable replica of the 1985 National League Championship ring courtesy of Edward Jones. These rings celebrate a few top players from the 85 team. Which player's ring will you get? We'll find out on Saturday, August 21st. Tickets and info at cardinals.com/promotions.
A long drive to left field for Arenado, and he has just hit a home run. 1-0 Cardinals.
The Cardinals host the Pirates the weekend of August 20th through 22nd and celebrate Hall of Fame weekend in St. Louis. On Sunday, August 22nd, 12,000 kids ages 15 and younger entering with a ticket will go home with their very own stadium-exclusive Build-A-Bear Workshop Bear. This bear is sporting a red Hall of Fame jacket just like the Cardinals' greats. That's Sunday, August 22nd. Tickets and info at cardinals.com/promotions.
Summer is winding down, but there's still time to take advantage of great deals on Illini merchandise at Game Day Spirit. Save big on official Big Ten Championship apparel, now 50% off. Stop by their campus location for the Champaign Center Partnerships 13 Thursdays and get 20% off any regular priced item, or buy one t-shirt and get two more free. You won't want to miss these deals and more at Game Day Spirit, located on Neil and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online at GameDaySpirit.com.
Hi, Ellen Hook here, owner of your local Ashley Home Store. Say goodbye to summer and hello to huge mattress savings. The summer closeout sale is going on now at Ashley Home Store. Right now, select Ashley Sleep mattresses start at $299. Select Beauty Rest mattresses start at $599. And select Sealy mattresses start at $469. These hot summer mattress deals won't last long, so hurry in or visit ashleyhomestore.com to shop and save today. Ashley Home Store. This is home.
Ensuring peace of mind, expanding business, building strong communities. Realize your financial dreams with Busey Bank. For more than 150 years, Busey's built a foundation of broad financial capabilities, vast knowledge, and close relationships that span generations. You can realize your best future. Busey's right beside you. Member FDIC.
Deserves a decent place to live, including man's best friend. Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County is looking for build teams to help raise a wolf by participating in a fun and unique doghouse building competition for a good cause. And this year, you can choose to build a structure for our feline friends. Grab your friends, family, or coworkers and put your creativity and building skills, or lack thereof, to the test. Raise the Wolf is taking place on Saturday, September 25th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. All the money raised via Raise the Wolf will fund Habitat home builds here in Champaign County. You can find more information about Habitat's Raise the Wolf event at cuhabitat.org.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. We're back with John Maxwell's Live to Lead this year at the iHotel. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy your tickets. Let's get inspired and shake off the cobwebs from our brains after a very tough year. We will be in the new large conference room at the iHotel Friday, October 8th. Go to HabibHabib.com and buy tickets for you and for your whole team. Every attendee will receive a copy of my new book that will be published this year. Buy your tickets and come and get inspired with me. HabibHabib.com.
Banco Overhead Door boasts over a decade of experience in garage door sales, installation, and service. They pride themselves on fast, friendly, and professional assistance for all customers. You can trust the licensed and professional team at Banco. And Banco is the only company in a 100-mile radius with a garage door showroom. Go visit their location and shop door options that meet your needs at 214 South Lake of the Woods Road in Mahomet, or you can view options online at bancodoor.com. That's BANKCODoor.com.
I'm Ben Quattrone, owner-operator at Sierra Champagne. I enjoy a good game like anyone else, but not when I'm buying a car. At Sierra Champagne, located in Savoy, we've got multiple franchises, and we're transparent, no haggle, no BS, no hassle, and our price is generally lower than anywhere else you'll find. We've always got 30 cars under $10,000. We have luxury models, too. We do business a little differently at Sierra Champagne. Most of our customers really appreciate it. Visit SierraChampagne.com, SierraChampagne.com, and look at 500 cars.
If you need professional painters, look no further than Fresh Coat Painting. Locally owned Fresh Coat Painters of Champagne handle interior, exterior, residential, and commercial painting jobs. No matter how large or small, they take care of it with a genuine smile and with utmost courtesy. And they offer contact-free estimates and same as cash financing. For a contact-free estimate, just go to FreshCoatPainters.com. Stay local. Go with a professional painter you can trust. FreshCoatPainters.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Myself. Back here on the drive, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. Said during the break, Washington football team.
They just had so long to figure something out. I can't believe they're still just going with Washington football team.
I know.
I mean, heck, Cleveland's becoming the Guardians, which
highly scrutinized, but
I would have gone with spiders all day.
Spiders would have been cool.
Even though I don't personally like spiders, I think it just would have been a cooler, more marketable brand.
I do like that.
But, I mean, they eliminated the name of the Washington football team before last season. Went through all of last season. That much, I guess, I understood because it was right, at the beginning of the season that they had to do that makeshift change. But, I mean, we just sat here for like 6 months with no football. Figure it out. Why are we still calling you the Washington football team? Plus, to anyone who's even, slightly hard of reading, it just looks like WTF is your team name, and it's way too easy to accidentally say that. WTF on the field. So, I don't know.
Certainly is. We're talking a little MLB The Show as well during the break. And actually, it made me think of my Diamond Dynasty team.
Uh-huh.
Was the Las Vegas Jokers. I was pretty proud of that.
Ooh. Yeah, cards. I like it.
Yeah.
I get that. That's cool.
It's what you're supposed to do. Come up with an actual nickname, not just we're a football team. We know that.
The Las Vegas baseball team. No one wants to hear that. We were talking about the stadiums in the game. Because the Field of Dreams tonight is at such a unique stadium that I was saying they should. Now, obviously, most of these aren't standing anymore. That's the difference. But some of those like retro stadiums you can play in the video game are kind of fun and quirky and cool.
Definitely. Tonight, you have Cornfield in the outfield. Obviously, I mean, it's the Field of Dreams.
Love it.
It'd be wrong if that was not the case. I believe, and I've been trying to Google some images here, there is a fence in between the field and the corn, but the corn's right there. A home run's going to go into the cornfield, which is great. 325 to left and to right, 380 in the gaps, and then 400 to dead center. So a fairly standard ballpark tonight. As some gamblers are trying to wonder what are the conditions looking like so we can come up with a good parlay here.
Now,
want some money?
All the rain is here, but I don't see anything in Iowa, so I think we're good there.
Perfect.
And, of course, as a note here, the game starts at 6:01, it says, on the FanDuel app.
So we got to do this now.
So it's now or never to build some kind of a bet for this game. And FanDuel's running this is just one app, but the FanDuel app is running a promotion where if you place a $25 plus same game parlay, you get $5 for every home run hit in the game, regardless of whether or not your parlay wins. So
it's called the Field of Dingers,
which I love.
I think it's great.
Dinger is like a top five word for me right now based on our Dinger Tuesdays. This is Dinger Thursday, Field of Dingers edition.
Vanville, you can just send us the check for that little promo there.
Love it. So obviously, just as an initial lean, you see Andrew Heaney and his 5-whatever ERA, and you see Lance Lynn, who's currently the favorite, the odds-on favorite to win AL Cy Young. I'm leaning White Sox tonight. I don't know about you,
Big
Derek.
Big time. I know they're minus 178 on the money line. If you want to do the run line, -1.5, it's plus 114. If we're going to build the same game, I would just probably go money line, right? Or do you want the value in saying the White Sox would win by more than one run?
Let's start with the money line, but if we get to a place where we don't like the final price on what we've got, I don't mind swapping in the -1.5 instead of the money line.
Fair enough. Let's do that.
But we'll start with the money line at 178. Let's see here. I was looking up the White Sox numbers specifically against Heaney. I know that this is always take with a grain of salt because, you know, if someone's 3-for-10 against a pitcher, that also means 7 times they didn't do anything. So it's
fair enough.
It's very clear that they could do nothing. However, the one notable on the White Sox is Jose Abreu, who in 10 at bats has 3 hits and they were all home runs.
Oh,
so he's 3-for-10 against Andrew Heaney with 3 home runs.
I like that.
So that's maybe a number to circle.
I'm seeing right now Jose Abreu plus 310 to hit a bomb.
Interesting. I don't love the home run because it just takes you out of what could otherwise be a really nice parlay. But I also do like that. I think there's going to be some home runs hit in this game. The ballpark isn't massive.
Correct.
You know, the bright lights, everybody's watching, it's on Fox. Heaney stinks.
Yep.
So I don't mind throwing a White Sox in there. A White Sox? A White Sox? I don't like that. And I guess I'd be picking Abreu just based on the numbers, but maybe there's someone else who pops out at better value. I'm not sure.
I'm looking here at the White Sox lineup in general against lefties, and you have Luis Robert leading an average. Now, the sample size is still small because he missed so much time due to injuries, but he's hit .381 against lefties when he's been in. He's only played in 2 games since coming back from injury. He was 2-for-5 in his debut, 0-for-3 in his second game against the Twins. So maybe Luis Robert to get a hit might be something intriguing to add in there. Tim Anderson, obviously a hit machine. .292 against lefties is a little bit below his average in general because he's hitting, what, .310 on the season probably? Mm-hmm.
He's almost an auto play. If I'm ever making a White Sox parlay of any kind, the first thing I do is Tim Anderson to get a hit. I know it's like heavy. It's -330. Like, it's not anything to write home about, but it just feels like every single game that guy gets a hit.
Absolutely. Abreu has 9 home runs against lefties. Only hitting .257, but the power there is undeniable. Andrew Vaughn, what is he hitting? 6 tonight, DH.
Mm-hmm.
.318 with 6 home runs against lefties this year.
He has never faced Heaney before, so he doesn't have any looks against him. Not that it should matter.
Okay. Anybody on the Yankees side that you would like? LeMahieu, Gardner, Judge, Gallo, Stanton, Voit. There's going to be a lot of runs in this game. There should be.
There should be a lot of runs.
Not off of Lynn, I don't think.
The thing about Lynn is DJ LeMahieu has 20 plate appearances. He's batting .059. He has 1 hit in 20 plate appearances against Lynn, and he's their automatic contact. So you know, especially at whatever juice that's -340 for him to get a hit, I would stay the heck away from that.
Yep.
Because he has terrible numbers against Lynn. A lot of the Yankees, Brett Gardner in 13 plate appearances is hitting .200. He only has 1 hit against Lynn. Gallo's never faced him because they were both on the Rangers for the majority of their,
at least
the majority of Gallo's career. I guess the one guy who pops out here is Judge has a home run, or 2 home runs, I'm sorry. He has 2 home runs against Lynn in 37 at bats.
Okay.
So he's only hitting .270. Well, that's pretty good, I guess.
Not bad.
So maybe one Yankee to target just based on batter pitcher history would be Judge. Not, again, that's nothing groundbreaking there. But the middle of that lineup, Judge, Gallo, Stanton, I guess I'd lean Judge out of one of those mammoth guys to hit one.
One interesting note here as we build this, Eloy, who's just been insanely hot.
Yep.
Is 0-for-13 against lefties this year.
And he is 0-for-7 against Heaney in his career. So, of course, that means he's going to be the one who hits two home runs.
I was going to say, do you lean towards just the fact this guy has been that walking man on fire gif here recently, or the fact that he hasn't gotten a hit off a lefty here recently?
I would lean more towards the walking man on fire
gif. I would say that as well.
So if we go to record a hit, what if we did Anderson, who, again, I know it's heavily juiced, but still, he's almost an autoplay, Jimenez, and Robert. Is it Robert? Robert?
Yeah. Luis Robert, yeah.
So that's three White Sox right there. I like that. Robert's a pretty good price at 240, considering the numbers against lefties.
You want Judge?
And then Judge, yep. And then if I were doing this, just me personally, I would throw in the Abreu home run.
Okay.
But again, that's just me. Maybe if we took out the Abreu home run but put in the minus 1.5 at plus 114, that would still get us a pretty nice return. Because right now, if we just did White Sox to win the game, and then those four guys to get a hit, we're basically at plus 400, so it's like 10 bucks to win 39. Which, you know, that's fine. I like a little bit more on my, a little more meat on the bone for myself personally. So I would either pivot to the minus 1.5, which that instead of the money line would be, what would that get you?
It'd be probably 6-7 to 1, 7 to 1 probably.
I'm saying selections cannot be combined. That doesn't make sense.
Doesn't want you to do it.
Hang on.
It's going to be right.
Alternate run lines. Let's go White Sox. Minus 1.5. That's plus 524.
There you go.
So 10
5 to 1.
10 to win 52. But then if you took out the alternate run line, put back the money line, and then also put in Abreu to hit a home run, pause for dramatic effect. Now we're talking plus 1,700.
So 10 to win 170.
10 to win 170. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
But that's just me.
So in recap, we have, say, White Sox money line, Anderson, Judge, Eloy, and Luis Robert to get a hit, and Abreu to go yard, 10 to win 170.
Yep. And if the Abreu is too much for you, either take it out entirely, or you could take the White Sox spread of minus 1.5, meaning they'd have to win the game by more than one run, and that still gets you 10 to win about 55.
There you go.
I like it.
There you have it. That is our mini Trev's ticket.
Yep. We'll do a bigger one tomorrow our college football.
Yes, college football win totals. I have a Heisman pick that I want to share as well that we will give away tomorrow. So
I can't wait.
Little opportunity to win some money. We take a quick break, come back, wrap up the show. This is The Drive.
Did you know that the largest security monitoring company in our area has been sold? You will if you try to give them a call.
All of our representatives are currently busy.
When it comes to your home security and peace of mind, the last thing anyone wants to hear is,
the estimated hold time is 96 minutes.
Don't be left on hold. Trust the local and family-owned company who have been doing this for almost 50 years. Trust Barcom. Give them a call at 217-679-2387. They'll actually
Barcom Security.
Answer the phone. Barcom Security. Have a secure day.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Make plans now to attend the 4th annual Horizon Hobby RC Fest, the largest gathering of radio-controlled cars, trucks, airplanes, helicopters, and drones in the Midwest. Thrilling competitions, vendors, and exhibits with the newest RC merchandise, all at Eli Field in Monticello, Friday, September 10th, Saturday, September 11th. At RC Fest, the action is nearly nonstop. Bring the whole family. All ages will enjoy driving or flying at the Try-Me tents, where experience modelers love to introduce new people to the RC hobby. Saturday, September 11th ends with a spectacular night air show with aerial combat featuring a sky filled with LED illuminated aircraft and a ring of fire, plus a free fireworks display. It's the Horizon Hobby RC Fest, Friday, September 10, Saturday, September 11 until 10 p.m. Food and refreshments available to purchase. Admission is free with lots of drawings for prizes. For details, visit HorizonRCFest.com. The Long Branch Steakhouse has been receiving rave reviews from our Stever winners. These are real comments from customers.
Our steaks were cooked perfectly, very tender and juicy. The food was incredible, delicious with every bite.
The service was top-notch. The owner personally welcomed us and checked to make sure that everything was perfect throughout the meal.
The wait staff were friendly and prompt, and the filet I ordered was to die for. The best I've ever had.
Experience the Long Branch for yourself on Main Street in beautiful downtown Gifford. PDR Automotive has been in business since 1973. That's 12 presidential elections. PDR can service your vehicle, whether it's powered by gasoline, diesel fuel, hybrid, or totally electric. Change is inevitable, but one thing you can always count on being consistent is PDR and their ability to service your vehicle no matter what you drive. Specializing in advanced electrical systems. Online at PDRauto.com. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9400.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
This hour of The Drive brought to you by Pepsi Cola, Champaign Urbana Bottling Company, family owned and operated since 1953, and the makers of Bubbly, my favorite office drink. A delicious sparkling water with no calories, no sweeteners, and all smiles. Available in 16 flavors. Pick up a case of Bubbly. And again, this hour of The Drive brought to you by the makers of Bubbly, Pepsi Cola, Champaign Urbana Bottling Company.
Finishing up here on The Drive on a Thursday, Derek Piper, Charlie Valise. It is currently dry out. Well, the ground is not dry, but it's not raining for the exact moment here. Looks like that'll extend out for maybe another 10 minutes. A lot of rain of rain in the forecast. Hopefully none in Iowa, although it looks pretty good.
I think
based
they're
on clear. The forecast. White Sox and Yankees about to kick off here in about 5 minutes, really.
Do you mind just quickly reading off again what we did if you haven't in front of you? It was White Sox to win, right?
We have the White Sox to win. We have Judge to get a hit. We have Tim Anderson and Eloy to get a hit. And we have Mr. Jose Abreu to hit one into the cornfield. That makes... Luis Robert to get a hit as well.
That's right, because his numbers against lefties were good.
And that makes for plus 1,700, 17 to 1. Throw $10 down, win 170.
I like that. I mean, I really do. I know sometimes we just sort of half-heartedly throw something together for the sake of throwing it together, but I think that's good. I like that.
We should text Lon.
Should we?
No, we should not. We don't have enough time.
He can't figure that out in less than 3 minutes. I promise you that.
That is a guarantee. I can tell you tomorrow, again, we will do Trev's Ticket College Football Win Total Edition. Throw in a Heisman pick. Lon will come fully prepared to drop his knowledge, although he just hit the Paul DeJong home run prop here this week.
He hit another one today, didn't he?
He did.
DeJong?
Yeah, he's been hot.
Good call, Lon.
And what else are we going to do tomorrow? Some training camp. It's finishing up here soon, so hopefully hear from a couple other players.
Yep.
And talk some NFL preseason. Lions Cardinals play tomorrow night. Bears play over the weekend. What do we want to see from Justin Fields? Let's dive into that tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Thanks to Jason Pat, bloggable.com, for joining us. Thanks to Trevor for holding down for Lon. And thank you all for listening. Enjoy your Thursday night. This is The Drive.